Verse 8 says, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is, the word of faith which we preach. The word of faith. I'm interested in that little phrase for a theme this morning, if I can use it that way, just simply the word of faith. The Apostle Paul has expressed in this chapter his heart's desire for his nation and his people, the nation of Israel. He lets us know that they have tried to establish their own righteousness. That's what Brother Jim was describing to us in the text that he read this morning when Jesus dealt with the scribes and Pharisees and referred to them as hypocrites because they had went about to establish their own righteousness. They had tried to take the law that was holy and that was godly, that was given to Moses and then distributed unto the people of God. They had tried to take that law and obey it and try to live by it in the energy of the flesh. And they had taken the principles of the laws of God and they had encompassed their world in an outward form of religion. And they had established their own righteousness and their own way of living by that law. That was not the reason God had given the law to begin with, but the Pharisees and the scribes and the religious leaders of that day had established such a tight-knit a fellowship among themselves that they had a religion that barred anyone else, amen. They had a religion that no one could seemingly infiltrate until Jesus came to this earth, born in Bethlehem's manger, the Son of God, and confronted their hypocrisy because they had tried to live by the law and appease their own mind in doing so to establish a way of life. That's what Paul is dealing with here in chapter number 10. He has a great burden for those that are wrapped up in religion. He has a great burden for those that have deceived themselves, yet they know in their heart that they are not right with God. They know in their heart that their religion has deceive them. You talk to people in this day and time that are in religion, and it's amazing how powerful the chains of deception are when it comes to religion. Brother Josh and I have talked the last week or so about someone that he had talked with concerning some things about the Bible, concerning sin and people's attitude and their concept of sin and ungodliness. And it is amazing how people want to have a Bible, but they want to pick and choose what they want to believe and what they want to emphasize and what they want to deal with in their life. Amen. I was talking to Harry yesterday about a situation where people want to say that they believe the Bible, but they only want to take out the parts that set well with the world that they are living in and lay aside principles that go across the grain of how they are behaving themselves. And Paul in that begins to address the subject of our salvation and the reality of being born again, being a part of the family of God. And there's three times in these short verses that the word heart is used. In verse number 8, he tells us, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. He says again in verse 9, shalt believe in thine heart. Then in verse number 10, for with the heart the man believeth unto righteousness. There are two members that are mentioned in these verses, both the mouth and the heart. Can I say something to you this morning without getting distracted with the help of the Lord, that you cannot separate those two? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And out of the heart proceeds evil things and communication and things that are ungodly. I've heard people make this statement, had people in this church make this statement, you know, well, I really didn't mean to say that. And that's a lie. Amen. Well, I didn't mean for it to come out that way. That's why I really am not a big fan of texting and a big fan of email. Because most of the time, I don't know how many times I have wasted my time, God's time, trying to explain what I have written down on an email or in a text to someone that's wanting to discuss situations with me that they have problems with, whether it be family problems, spiritual problems, and they don't want to talk to me. They want to communicate with me that way, and I don't know how many times I have said and tried to explain what I just tried to simply say. And so you can read a lot of tone into a text or an email, and that's why I really don't care much about it at all. So if you don't get a response from me at times, it probably is that I either don't have time, or I'm busy, or I just don't want to. Amen. I'm not in the mood for it. All right. So just taking it that. Amen. Far as that is concerned. And so can I tell you something? I had someone here a number of weeks ago that is precious and dear to my heart I went through a great ordeal as a pastor and as an individual, and I'll not go into that. And someone that I'd shared my life with and that I had known for years, and they just sent me a little text rather than call me. I'll be honest with you, it offended me. And I'm not easily offended, but it offended me that they would not be considerate enough to call me. And I don't have a problem with them. I'm not upset with them. I got over it, amen. I had to take a baby aspirin to go to sleep that night because of it. It didn't bother me that much, but it offended me the direction that we have taken our communication. Because I'm going to tell you something. It's hard to read in a man's, what's coming from a man's heart when you read a letter or a text or something of that nature. Now, the Word of God's different because it's Spirit-led and Spirit-moved, and the Word of God can speak to your heart even though it is a letter because of the power that it has. Amen. I got distracted, amen. But I'm just telling you this morning that you cannot separate your mouth from your heart. And it's very important that when you say things, your attitude that you speak them, and the appearance that you have on your countenance when you say things. Brother Jim said this morning, quoted that verse, a soft answer turneth away wrath. How do you do that? How do you give a soft answer? How is it detected that this answer is soft? Does that mean the answer is whispered? Is that what that means? You just whisper the answer. No, the soft answer that turns away wrath is the attitude and the appearance and the countenance on your face when you give that answer. And it comes from the heart, amen. And some of you get a hold of that, amen. You'd search your heart and try to start dealing with some areas in your heart, amen. But anyway, you cannot separate the mouth from the heart. And here in this verse, in verse number 8, the Apostle Paul talks about the word of faith. The word of faith that is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. And this word of faith that brings about the work of salvation is the word of faith that was preached to these Romans. I'm going to ask you something. What is the condition of your heart this morning? He says, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. What kind of shape is your heart in today? What kind of condition is your heart in? Have you ever had your heart get cold? I'm talking about spiritually. Have you ever had your heart to grow cold? Have you ever seen, if you're saved, I'm talking to saved people right now, have you ever seen how easily a heart can get calloused, get hard? You lose feeling. You don't have a concern for things and a passion for things that you once had. You can do that preaching three times a week. that can happen to you teaching Sunday school every Sunday. That can happen to you playing an instrument, singing in the choir, taking up the offering. That can happen to you if you are up to your neck involved in the work of God. It is easy to get a cold heart. It is easy to get a calloused heart. And so before I would go any further this morning, I'd like to know what kind of shape your heart is in. Is your heart been redeemed? Have you ever been saved by the grace of God? Has your heart ever been changed by the power of the gospel? That is the context of these verses that are before us. I'll ask you this question today. Can you face the uncertainty of tomorrow with the condition that your heart is in? I tell you what, I've pastored people and I've prayed for them. I had prayed for them because I sensed as a pastor that they had no faith. I sensed in preaching to them that there was no concern about eternal things. None. And I'm not a judge and I'm not God, and so I don't set myself up as a judge or as God to determine whether or not someone has been saved or born again. But I tell you what I've done. I've sat down as a pastor or got in the prayer closet and began to pray for people, and I would say, Lord, all I know to do is ask you to meet the spiritual need that they have in their life. Because I just didn't know whether they're saved or not. But I have sat down and I have asked myself this question concerning their soul. I say to myself, how can they face the uncertainty of tomorrow with their heart in the condition that it's in? And I realize your heart can get cold. I realize your heart can get calloused. But I want to ask you this question. Has there ever been a time when your heart has been fervent? Has there ever been a time when you were on fire for God? Has there ever been a time that you had a heart to serve the Lord? Has there ever been a time when your heart hungered for the word of faith that was in your mouth, that was in your heart, that's been preached to you? Has there ever been a time when you had a desire for the faith of God? What this morning is the condition of your heart? Then I thought about this in these verses. I thought about the contents of the heart. He tells us in verse number 8 that this word of faith is in their heart. The contents of your heart. What is in your heart this morning? I cannot answer that question. Oftentimes, as a preacher, I can easily think and determine in my mind by the countenance of your face what's going on in your heart. I can see you in the choir, and I realize you don't judge by appearance. I understand that, but you need to understand that God said, man looketh on the outward appearance, God looketh on the heart. So before you claim that verse and say, you are judging by appearance, I am doing exactly what God said that I would do. And for me not to judge by appearance, amen, would violate what the Bible says. Because God said that man looketh on the outward appearance and God looks on the heart. So I can't see your heart, Joseph Call. I don't know what's going on in it right now. I don't know what is in your heart. I don't know if what I'm preaching this morning from the word of God is ringing a bell in your heart this morning. Are you wondering what you're going to eat when you get home? Or how long is the preacher going to preach? What's he trying to accomplish? I need to get out of here. Whether your heart is 1,000 miles from what's going on in this church today, when you were singing in the choir, some of you couldn't even tell me what you sung just a moment ago. But yet, amen, we desire to say in ourselves that we have come and justified in our own mind that we have worshiped God, but there's been no worship because our heart's not been in. What is in your heart? Let me ask you this. Is the word of God in your heart? I'm talking about the word of faith. Amen. Is the word of God in your heart this morning? Amen. Are you interested in the Word of God, spiritually and inwardly. And I know that we have Bible quiz now for years, and there's been thousands and thousands of verses memorized and quoted through the course of a week, through the summer months, and young people have hid the Word of God in their mind, and I thank God for that. I praise the Lord for that. When I stand back and think of the potential, amen, that has been put in your mind, if it can get in your heart, what you could do for the glory of God is overwhelming. But can I say to you, the hypocrites that Jesus confronted, they had the Word of God in their mind. They had memorized the Torah ever since they were old enough to be able to be tutored by a Jewish rabbi. They knew the Bible, but they were whited sepulchers. All that they were doing was for show and to appeal in the eyes of men as being religious, but they knew not God. So the contents of your heart is very important. What's in your heart this morning? Is the Word of God in your heart? The way you're living, is it in your heart? If it's not in your heart, it's not going to last. If it's not in your heart, it's not going to last.
Amen.
And so he tells us in verse 8 that this word of faith is in their heart. The contents of your heart. What is in your heart right now? Can I tell you something? There's a lot of things that can grab your heart. Amen. I've had things get a hold of my heart, and I've had to stop and evaluate where I'm at and where I'm headed. Hobbies and fun and games and all those things can get in your heart, and they can take precedence over everything in your life and snatch away the passion of your heart for the things of God. And I don't want that to ever happen to me as a pastor. And let me tell you the reason why I don't want that to happen to me, John, is because I've had a heart that's believed unto righteousness. I'm not saying that things cannot nor do not have the opportunity or do not have the potential of snatching away the passion of my heart. I realize that they have that potential, but there is something within my soul. Are you listening to me this morning? There is something within my soul that desires to keep my heart and keep it with all diligence and put it in the work of God and the Word of God. What's in your heart? Fishing can be in your heart. Riding a horse can be in your heart. Hunting can be in your heart. There's a lot of things. A job can be in your heart. Money can be in your heart. Your family can be in your heart. And there's nothing wrong with putting your heart into things. When I do something and I have something that I like and I enjoy, I want to put my heart into it. But I do not want it to take the place of my heart that has been designed and purposed to do the will of God and the word of faith to abide there. Where's the word of faith at? Do you have the word of faith in your heart? The condition of your heart, the contents of your heart, what's in your heart? You know, you can have this school in your heart. You can have your class in your heart. And a lot of that's good and it's fine. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. But is the word of faith in your heart? Because something could happen tomorrow and you not be able to fulfill any of the things that you are enjoying in life. But the word of faith can abide in your heart. And I thought about the confession of the heart here in this verse. It's very simple. He says in verse 9 that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Amen. For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. Have you confessed Christ? Now, a lot of times, this confession of our mouth that we think of here in verse 9 is what we think that Uncle Ryan done the other day. And that will stand up here and say, I got saved. I give my heart to the Lord. And that's wonderful. And that is confessing to this church that he has given his heart to the Lord. If he's genuinely done that, that's fine. It's good. It's biblical. It's in order. But then there, I'm going to tell you what, that meant something in this day. Paul is talking about a nation that is stooped in religion, that is overwhelmed by the law of righteousness that they have established in their own mind. And I mean, this goes as far as even baptism, and we'll be having a baptismal service next week, Lord willing. But it goes in a very deeper meaning than what we believe in this day. To show an outward expression of the grace of God in your heart meant something to these people and the world around them. He lets us know in verse 11, for the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. When's the last time you confessed him on the job? Hey, some of you men here, you work on the job, whether it be Kimball's or the factory that you work at, or driving a truck. Brother Craig drives a truck, and Brother Jim works in the construction field, and Brother Carr and Brother Willie up here in town, all you men work in different places. When's the last time that because of what was in your heart, you confess the Lord Jesus? That's a serious thing. I'm going to tell you how serious it is, Brother Jim. We deal with people constantly that face doubt and questions in their mind about their soul and its condition and its state. But I'm going to tell you something. The reason being is we've got a world that is ashamed of the gospel. Yes. We'll sing that song, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. And you'll stand up in this church and testify. Some of you shout. Some of you, amen, will sing. Some of you will do whatever you do here among the people of God. And you're not ashamed of the gospel. But it is amazing how ashamed of the gospel we are when we leave this place.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you something. When you confess Jesus Christ in the public realm, it places you in a very vulnerable position. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
I'm not ashamed of the gospel. And I realize I'm not talking about going to work in the morning and passing out tracts while you're supposed to be doing your job, or sitting in the bathroom reading and everything else. I've had men do all kind of crazy stuff through the years I've pastored in the name of their faith, which was totally ridiculous. Amen. I'm talking about living a godly and an upright life before those that are around you confessing Christ. Some of you young men have been around people. Listen to me. You listen to me, Robert. You listen to me, Jeremy and Bradley, and some of you older boys that's in this building. Brother Willie, you've been around men, young men your age, that are lost and going to hell, and you've never one time told them about the Lord. And all they know about you is you've conformed to who they are and what they are. And there'll be a day that you'll stand before God and give an account for their soul. That's how serious it is. Confess Christ before men. Amen. You want to have some victory, that we sang about victory in Jesus. Everybody listen to me this morning. Amen. You want to have some victory. You want to have some power with God. You want to see the Lord do great things in your life. I'm telling you, I had young men years ago in this church. I've had them up the stairs in their bedroom. Won't you listen to me? I've had young men that were members of this church years ago, Brother Chance, that would be upstairs in their bedroom just doing whatever they were doing through the day, and look out the window and see boys sitting on the sidewalk across the road, and God burdened their heart. I'm talking about the preacher wasn't with them.
Their mom and dad wasn't around. Wasn't no Sunday school teacher breathing down their throat. And they would, I'm talking about teenage boys, 16-year-old boys, walk down the stairs, get out of their room, stop what they're doing, and go across the road and sit right in the midst a bunch of teenage boys on the sidewalk and start telling them about the Lord and the grace of God and salvation.
And we can do all the work for you. We can get the tracts printed up so you don't have to say a word. We can get a time set aside on a Thursday night or a Saturday morning. Call it 7 o'clock Thursday or 10 o'clock Saturday. If you come on visitation, we'll have pizza after it's over with. We'll even feed you. We'll even buy the gas for the van to take you up there to set you out in the community. I'm going to tell you what, testifying to the grace of God, confessing Him before men, is a battle you'll have to deal with as a Christian sometimes. But I'm going to tell you what, it'll bring victory in your life like nothing else will. I'm going to tell you what would revolutionize the ministry of this church and the attitude of worship that we have is there would be a group of people in this building, amen, that would wake up in the morning, amen, with a fresh look in their heart of the word of faith that is nigh them. The word of faith that Paul preached, the word of faith that brought salvation and deliverance from sin and forgiveness. Amen. Confess Christ. Are you listening to me? Confess Christ. The word of faith. This word of faith revolves around the condition your heart is in, the contents of your heart, confession of your heart. Then he talks about the confidence of your heart. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Faith that has produced an inward work in your soul. Are you saved this morning? Are you ready to meet God today? Listen to me. Life is uncertain this morning. Death is sure, but life is uncertain. And I do not know, I have no clue what tomorrow may hold for my life. I certainly do not know what tomorrow may hold for your life. I don't know what may take place tomorrow, but I know two things. I know hell awaits the sinner, and I know heaven awaits the saint of God. What happens between all that in life? I have no answer for. I'm not a seer. I have no prophetic word for you about what's going to take place in your life this year or this month. I just know there's a hell to shun and a heaven to gain. And the gain of heaven that you can enjoy in your life is a result of the faith and trust that you place in the Son of God when you come to the reality of your lost condition. When you come to the reality of the fact that you are not saved, I'm not a Christian. Preacher, I'm not going to go to heaven when I die. If I die the way I am, I've never been saved. I've never given my heart to God. It's a serious thing. I talked to a young man out of this church yesterday coming down the road. And he starts going through all his problems. And he's got plenty of them to go through. He's talking about the complications of life and where he's at right now. He's run out of options. He's run out of options. Has none. And the danger of getting in that kind of shape when you are about to be homeless and not able to buy clothes or food to eat, the danger of getting in that place is playing on the sympathy of those that you know by their religion will take care of you. Did that make sense? So what did you tell him, preacher? Here's what I told him. I said, buddy, you have a soul that's going to spend eternity in heaven or hell. And before you start worrying about wanting some things that'll make you happy and more contented in life, you better settle the question of where you're going to spend eternity.
That's right.
It is a very serious matter this morning. where your faith is, where your heart's at today. Men have frustrated the gospel. Men have complicated these verses in a lot of ways because of a lot of reasons. But here is the simple story of the word of faith. But you must understand that it involves your heart. Here's what he said. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. Now the word Lord unveils his supremacy. God is the only one that can help you. I can't help you. The friend sitting beside of you in this building can't help you. But if you'll submit yourself to the Lordship of Christ and realize that he's the only one that can get you out of the mess you're in and give you the peace you're looking for, and if you'll humble yourself before his supremacy, the fact that he is Lord, you can get some help this morning. The Lord Jesus, the word Jesus means Savior. It is the Old Testament word Joshua that means Savior. Now I'm going to tell you something. You need a Savior. And if Jesus does not save your soul, then you're going to die without God. And so it's that simple, even though you may complicate it in your mind. But you can simply this morning confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and you can be saved this morning. You say, well, preacher, I mean, now what does that mean? I believe that Jesus got up out of the grave. Well, if you're going to believe that somebody got up out of the grave, amen, that was dead, you got to realize they died. Amen. Jesus died, and he died for you, and he shed his blood for your sins. And he ever lives this morning through the power of the resurrection to make intercession for you, to go in your behalf, to plead your cause and to deliver you from sin. The word of faith. The word of faith. There's the conversation of the heart that we could get into. That conversation unveils the things you talk about. The confession of Christ. He says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I'm going to tell you what. I had made some professions in my life when I was young, and I'm not trying to get anybody confused. God is not in the business of confusing anyone. But I'm going to tell you what. When I made professions when I was young, here's what I made them revolving around. I was scared of the communist. I was. I wouldn't have known a communist from an Arab. But I was scared to death of them because of what I'd heard. And I really wasn't wanting to serve the Lord. I just wanted to sleep a little better at night. But I realized the condition my soul was in. I had no heart for God and no heart for the Word of God. And since the day that Jesus saved me, something's happened in my heart. That word heart is mentioned through these verses. And I don't know your heart, but God knows your heart. Amen. And you know your heart this morning. Miss Charity, you know where your heart is. Miss Autumn, you know where your heart is. Amen. You know what's in your heart. Amen. If there's malice, contempt, strife, sedition, wickedness, chance, you know if it's in your heart. And it'll creep in your heart and in my heart. And there's been times that I've had to stop. I mean, I've had to stop and I've had to say, what is going on with my heart? Why am I even thinking this? Why am I acting this way? And I have to deal with what I've allowed to get a hold of my heart. I'm going to ask you something. Have you ever given your heart to Jesus? When I give my heart to God, I had a desire for the Word of God. I had a desire to serve the Lord. I had a desire for those around me to know what God had done in my life. Brother James, when you got saved, you have a problem telling somebody what the Lord had done for you? It's just, you wanted somebody to know, didn't you?
It's almost like finding a sack of gold. You didn't want to know how much you got, but you want to let them know, hey, you're not going to keep that to yourself. You ain't going to believe what I found.
Amen.
You're going to keep it hid and not tell anybody because you don't want Bobby coming over or taking it out of your house when you ain't looking. Some of you fellas catch a fish, kill a deer. You're going to take pictures. And you'll let it sit in the back of the truck and rot. And the green flies eat its eyeballs out of its head. So you can take it around and show it to everybody.
Amen.
That's the truth. You ain't never told anybody about the Lord. Nobody. You've never confessed the work of God in your heart. Has he done anything in your heart? My wife's here this morning. You've heard me tell it a lot of times in 25 years. But when I got right with God, we walked out of the parking lot, or into the parking lot of the Camp Meeting Baptist Tabernacle Church on Beco Road in Greer, South Carolina. And we got in the car, and I told my wife, I said, take me to Mark Long's. And I don't know if I drove or if she drove, but I drove there or she drove me there, one of the two. And I got out. I said, you just go on home. I need to spend some time here. I walked in Mark's house there on over there by the Greer Cotton Mill. And when I went in that house, I said, as best I could, I was containing myself as best I could. His mom and dad were upstairs. I said, can we go to the basement? I need to talk to you. We went down there, buddy. I broke. I was broken. I don't know what he thought. Initially, something probably was wrong. But I wanted him to know what God had done in my life. And I'm going to tell you what, if it gets in your heart, it's going to produce righteousness. It's going to produce a godly life. It's going to produce desires toward the Lord. Have you met Jesus? Is he in your heart? The word of faith, is it in your heart? Now the Bible talks about your mind and your heart condemning you in John. And there's sometimes that the devil will let seasons come across your path to disrupt you. But all you have to do to overcome days of doubt when it comes to the state of your soul, the only thing you have to do is just take this book and just say, where is my heart? Did you go to the challenge program this morning? Where's your heart this morning? Did you go just because you wanted to go, or you thought she would go and she thought you would go, so y'all went together? Or did you go because there's boys there that need the Lord? Where's your heart at? And it's easy as a child of God to go for whatever reason because you've just been doing it. Where's your heart at? Tuesday evening, you load up, you drive an hour and 15 minutes to youth detention center. You do it because you're expected to do it. You do it because everybody thinks you're doing it. You do it because you've just been doing it. Or do you do it because these boys need God? Where's your heart?
Amen.
You get up and you read the Bible. Do you read the Bible because you're supposed to read the Bible? Or do you read the Bible? And I do that. I read the Bible because I'm supposed to read the Bible. And I've read the Bible and couldn't tell you a thing I read out of it, just like you. But there's been times I've gotten read the Bible. I'm talking about I've opened up the Word of God. And as I opened up its pages, Brother Grubbs, I opened it up and I'd say, Lord, I sure do need something this morning. I need you to speak to my heart. I need you to show me something in your Word. And boy, my heart got in it. I'm talking about I opened that book up and I'd say, Lord, feed me from your Word. Would you let the Word of God shine its light in my life? And those words, amen, came alive. Because of where I put my heart. And I'm going to tell you something. You, Rick Voles, have power over your heart.
You'll make the choice this morning for what you do with your heart. Is your heart have the word of faith in it? Are you ready to meet God? I'm going to tell you something. It's a serious matter to walk out in this world of uncertainty and not have eternal things settled in your heart. You see, salvation's not a matter of the head, it's a matter of the heart. And while you got your senses, you better realize that it's very important to respond to the word of faith.